Soul Sisters by Leslie Loco. Read by Deborah Michaels. Robert McFadden, aged 13, pressed his ear flat against the wooden panelling and strained to hear the conversation taking place on the other side of the wall. "You cannot be serious," his mother said, her voice tight with outrage. "Where is she?" There was a moment's silence, then his father's voice came through the wall, weak and placating.
"Well, that's just the thing. She's, here."
"Here? Where's here? Here? Here in Edinburgh?"
"Aye."
Robert frowned. It had been a strange week. His father, who had been away in Africa for most of Robert's life, was finally back, for good. But Mother seemed about as pleased to see him as she was to see the gardener, or the coalman, or the old hunchback who delivered vegetables once a week. Not pleased, in other words. Knowing Margaret McFadden, it wasn't altogether surprising. Robert's quiet, stern character, somewhat disconcerting in a child of 13, came almost exclusively from his mother, or so everyone said. She'd married down, that was the word everyone used. For a time, Robert thought it meant Africa. Down there, as the servants kept referring to it. After a while, however, he grasped the true meaning of the word. It had to do with money, of which his mother had plenty and his father absolutely none. No one seemed to understand how or why they'd married in the first place, and, since he was an only child, there was no one to ask, no one with whom he could speculate. All he knew was what Mrs. Guthrie, the housekeeper, had told him in those odd moments when she'd relaxed sufficiently to pour herself a wee dram and ease off her shoes. His mother was the daughter of a Rhodesian landowner, originally from Scotland, who'd been travelling with his wife and two young daughters from Salisbury to Johannesburg when their train derailed and they were stuck for a week in Marula, a tiny mission station just south of Bulawayo, where his father was stationed. He loved hearing the words Bulawayo, Marula, Gweru. In Mrs. Guthrie's mouth, they took on an even more exotic ring.
Bulawayo!
He'd looked it up on the map. He found it impossible to imagine his mother in anything other than the high-necked, stern dresses with full skirts, stockings, boots, and sometimes even a tie that she wore year-round, even on the odd day when the sun shone brightly in Edinburgh and the air turned misty with heat and haze. Whatever had transpired in that week in the middle of darkest Africa, Margaret Strachan returned to Scotland betrothed. He was aware, too, that the word return had a certain ironic ring to it. Before she'd set foot in the house in Abercrombie Place, purchased for her and her new husband by an overly grateful father, she'd only once been to Scotland. She'd grown up on a sprawling estate in Rhodesia, had been homeschooled by her mother, an Englishwoman of her time and class, and as a result sounded about as Scottish as the Queen, whom she adored.